Your Money with the Investor Coach, Paul Nichols. The show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about the traditional financial planning model. Paul believes education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will lead to peace of mind. He uses simple solutions grounded in academic research from leading financial minds at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the University of Chicago, including several Nobel laureates. You do not need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. Paul Nichols is the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisor. He is a member of the National Ethics Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, and member of Strategic Coach Quarterly. Get ready for some common sense clarity coaching with the investor coach, Paul Nichols.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. I hope this finds you well. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, and it is Saturday morning at 9 a.m. It's a foggy day here in central Pennsylvania. I hope it's nice wherever you are listening to this. I'm excited to be here. We are live and in color in beautiful Happy Valley in the opulent downtown WBLF studios. And I'm excited to be here this morning doing a couple live shows back to back. We have a great show for you this morning, one that we've been promoting and talking about. It has to do with the Roths. That's R-O-T-H, Roth, and Roth conversions. And you know, the show is designed to educate and inform. We believe that you don't need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. And we're going to teach you this morning, coach you up, if you will, as it relates to Roth conversions. And in fact, I have a good friend of mine, a guy I've known for several years and have worked with very closely. He's on the left coast. Is that right, AJ? The left coast? That's California, right? The left coast. And he's been kind enough to get up at like 5:30 this morning so that he can call in. Kevin, can you hear me?
Thanks, Paul.
Hey, Kevin, you can hear me now, right?
Yes, I can.
Great, great. Well, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. And it's a not a sunny day yet because the sun hasn't come up, but it's going to be a beautiful sunny day in here in San Diego this
Well,
morning.
It's always a beautiful sunny day, day in San
Diego.
That's
what all the travel agencies say about San Diego.
Yeah, that's why rooms are $250 a night out there.
That's right.
Well, welcome, Kevin, and I appreciate you coming on. I know it's real early for you, and it's a Saturday morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Well, we wanted to, you've been on a couple times before, and we've talked about some different subjects, but this one is very interesting because this one's getting a lot of play right now as it relates to people starting to look into Roths and Roth conversions because of the upcoming tax codes and some changes that are happening there. And for the listeners, Kevin, who don't know who you are, Kevin is a, what would your title be out there, Kevin?
My job title is a senior field support representative, and basically what I do is I support representatives, financial planners, CPAs, attorneys that are out in the field, such as yourself, implementing financial plans for people.
So whenever I start to work on a plan, a state plan or a financial plan, one or two or three components might be working with Kevin, and Kevin allows me to go to one source and we can look at all the different potential solutions for people. But Kevin's with LifePro in San Diego. They're a large outfit that support financial people all across the country. So Kevin is somebody I've been working with for a few years and definitely very competent and I think wise beyond your years, Kevin, I have to tell you. But anyway, enough of the pats on the back here. Let's go ahead and get into the nitty-gritty because we have three short segments that go pretty fast. And I know that we have had some discussions about Roth, and you've just gone through a whole bunch of new material, although you've always been on top of this. So why don't I just kind of throw it over to you, and let's see where we want to head.
Sure. The first thing, the way I want to start out today is just talk a little bit about, first, is Roth IRAs. And basically, a Roth IRA is a vehicle that allows us to grow our money tax-free, take distributions from our account tax-free, and also transfer upon death our account to our beneficiaries tax-free. It is an IRA, and traditional IRAs, you do get tax deferral. However, upon distribution and upon transfer at death, those are two taxable events, and those do not occur with Roth IRAs. The trade-off is that with the Roth IRA, you do not get a deduction on the contribution to the account. However, with a traditional IRA, you do.
Hey, Kevin, let's go ahead and give him a story that will help people really wrap their head around that. It's the farmer, the seed, and the harvest story. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say you're a farmer and you are going to plant a field in the spring. You could pay tax on the seed and have a tax-free harvest, or you could have a tax-free seed and have a taxable harvest. when we ask most people in our area, Kevin, you know, a lot of farmers around here, what would you prefer? Most say a tax-free harvest. Well, that's an example of a Roth.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Just to paint a picture, go ahead. So we have traditional IRA, which is you get a tax break putting the money in, but it's tax deferred, meaning you got to pay tax on it later. And a Roth that you take your after tax money and put in, and then it's tax grows tax free and is accessible tax free and transfers tax free. Correct.
Exactly. And so, as you said, most people would rather have a tax free harvest, and that's how most investors should be should think also. But the problem is that the government strictly keeps you from putting too much money into these kind of accounts. If you can only put in $5,000 per year, for example, if you make too much money, if you make over $100,000 single, or I believe it's $120,000 if you're married, you cannot make any kind of contributions into these accounts. And so there's strict limitations on how much we could place into them, and consequently, people aren't able to fund them the way that people really would like.
So what you're saying is that people like the Roth. The problem is there's a lot of strings and rules to them, so
yes,
higher income earners can't fund them. And then if you can fund it, you can only put $5,000 or $6,000 if you're over 50, right?
If it's $5,000 under 50, $6,000 over 50.
Right, right. So, okay,
and
yeah.
So the problem is that you're not able to put as much money as you want into these. And so that's where the opportunity is coming up here starting in 2010. Today, you can actually do what's called a Roth conversion, where you take your IRA and you convert it to a Roth IRA. Now, when you do the conversion, you have to report the all of your traditional IRAs taxable income in the year that you do the conversion. And so you pay tax, you have to report that as a distribution, pay taxes on the whole entire balance. However, from that day moving forward, all the growth, all the distributions and the transfer will always be tax-free.
So let's give them a picture. Let's say, for example, ladies and gentlemen, you had $100,000 in your IRA, and you wanted to take it from a traditional taxable scenario to a non-taxable scenario moving forward with the Roth. You would have to take the $100,000, put it in a Roth, and then pay the tax on it. So let's say you're in the 20% effective bracket, then you would end up paying $20,000, and you have $80,000 in that account now, but moving forward, you'd have no taxes on it, and it would grow tax-free.
Correct. Now, this sounds great also, but there's also, this year, a strict limitation on who is eligible to do a Roth conversion. And currently, if you're single or married, you cannot, if you make more than $100,000 a year, then you are not eligible to do a Roth conversion. So where the opportunity exists is that in 2010, starting next year, January 1st, this income limitation is being removed. So anybody is eligible to do a Roth conversion. And not only that, but they can actually spread the income tax over a two-year period instead of having to report all of it as income in 1 year.
Now, we got to remember there's a lot of folks out there that don't know anything about this stuff, so we got to kind of reiterate a couple things. Let's focus real quick, Kevin, on why they would want to do the conversion.
Okay.
Just kind of paint the picture as we go through these different myths. The idea here is that we want to handle the taxes.
Sure. And there's four real reasons why somebody would want to do a Roth conversion. And the first, and what I call these are the four retirement myths. In the intro of your show today, Paul, it mentioned that part of your show is to pull back the curtains on what traditional financial planners are telling people to do. And this is actually part of what most people are going to be told when they go and meet with a financial planner, are these four myths that are no longer not true and no longer apply to investors today. And these are all four of these are reasons why somebody should do a Roth conversion. The first retirement myth is that you should always defer taxes whenever you can. The pillar of financial planning over the last 20, 30 years is always you go and meet with somebody and they tell you, well, we need to maximize your deductions and maximize your contributions to your IRAs. And this is actually no longer applies because why do we want to defer taxes when we have historically low tax rates today?
Well, I think people don't understand, Kevin. You know, a lot of advisors are taught to defer tax, and that's a good strategy until you start to look at where we are today, and you're totally right. We have a situation where I guess the question you need to ask yourself is, do you believe taxes are going to be the same, higher, or lower in the future? I had a class on Thursday. I asked the whole class that, and everyone but one person said higher. So if we believe they're going to be higher, I guess the question is, why postpone paying them? That's the point that you're making, that we're in historically low tax rates right now because the perception out there in this country is that with the debt that we have, that taxes have to go up. Is that correct?
Exactly. And if we look back historically at the the top marginal tax rates between 1933 and 1986. The top marginal tax break was over 50%. Rate was over 50%. Mm-hmm. It was as high as 90% or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're in historically low. For the last 10 years, we've been in historically low tax rates. So why would we want to take a deduction on the contribution today and then throw that taxable event into the future when we know that there's going to be higher tax rates? In fact, in 2011, there's guaranteed increases in taxes that when the 2001 and 2003 tax breaks expire, and on average, we're going to have anywhere from a 3 to a 5% increase on all the marginal tax brackets, and that's guaranteed to happen in 2011.
Well, here's why people defer them. Kevin, just answer that question and add more clarity. People defer the taxes under the assumption that they're going to be in a lower tax bracket when they retire. That's
exactly.
That's the pitch. That's the story. Okay.
Exactly, and that leads me to the second retirement myth. And the second retirement myth is that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket during retirement. And this is not true, and it's not true for two reasons. First, what you mentioned is that tax rates are not going to be lower in the future. They're actually going to be higher, and I'll get into a little bit about why they will be higher. But also, don't we all want to retire at the same standard of living as we are as we're living prior to retirement?
Yes, we do. In fact, you know, the industry teaches that people retire in 80% of what they were getting on before they retired. I totally disagree with that. I think
exactly.
You should be at 100% or more.
Exactly.
Because that's when you're going to be traveling and enjoying kids and grandkids and doing different things.
Well, here's why traditional financial planners think that you can actually retire on the same level of income and have most of be taxed less. It's because when Social Security was originally enacted back in the 1930s, Social Security was actually tax free, and employer sponsored plans like 401ks and defined benefit plans were taxable just like they are today. But Social Security intended to create the base level of income for everybody. And today, it's been flipped upside down where Social Security now doesn't really provide a base level of income anymore. It's your own retirement plans, the employer-sponsored plans that are supposed to give you that base level of income. So it's been flipped upside down. And not only that, Social Security now is up to 85% taxable. So what this means is you can actually today retire on the same level of income, and it's still going to be mostly taxable. So tax rates will not be lower on retirement.
Let me add a thought to that. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. When you retire, your kids are hopefully out of the house and grown, so you have no children deductions or child credits. Your house is paid off, or at least that's the plan for a lot of people. You're no longer funding any qualified plans anymore. So you have no tax deductions at a point when hopefully you have more income than you've ever had before, whether it be through Social Security, pension programs, or distributions from your IRAs, 401ks, 457s, 403bs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here we are with the lowest amount of deductions at the highest point of income at a point when we have two huge issues, one being longevity and the other one being taxes, as you're mentioning, and the fact that they're going up.
Exactly. And just to give you an example of why tax rates are going to go up, let's just take a look at how much we spent in 2008 on the bailout. We spent approximately $4.6 trillion on the bailout. Now, that amount, just to put it into perspective on previous things that our government spent money on, that's more money than the Marshall Plan, the Louisiana Purchase, the Moonshot, the SNL crisis, the Korean War, the New Deal, the Iraq War, the Vietnam War, and all of NASA's budget ever since it was created.
Wow, that's hard to believe. You know what, we got to go to a break here in about 20 seconds. You mean that the bailout was more, not more than those combined, but more than each of those individually, right?
More than those combined, Paul.
Oh my goodness, that's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling if you think about that. I mean, just the Marshall Plan, you get into NASA. I mean, how much money has NASA spent?
Exactly.
A lot of money. Well, you know what? We got to go to a break. We're talking to Kevin Neuber with LifePro out of San Diego. We're discussing Roth conversions, and the new tax rules that are going to be enacted in 2010. You're listening to It's Your Money, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to It's Your Money. with the host. I'm your host, Paul Nichols. I'm joined by Kevin Neuber from Life Pro out in San Diego, and we're discussing Roth conversions this morning. For those of you maybe listening for the first time, this is a financial show. We pull back the curtain on the industry and expose the truth about money and investing. And we believe clarity comes from education and understanding, which is why we are coaching you up this morning on Roth conversions. And by the way, if you would like more information about this, you can go to our website, Financial Abundance Inc., that's INC.com, or call our office at 814-867-5745. Hey, Kevin, we're back. We're talking about Roth conversions. We left off in the last segment talking about a couple of the myths. You want to just reiterate those real quick? And these are myths as to why traditional planners focus on traditional IRAs rather than Roths. Would that be the accurate description?
Exactly. And just to cover what we said before, is that the first myth is that you're always told to defer taxes whenever possible, and that's not true because today we're in historically low tax rates. And the second myth is that tax rates are going to be lower during retirement, and that's not true because we know that future tax rates are actually going to go up. And one of the points that I just made right before the break, trying to prove to you that tax rates are actually going to go up, is that in 2008, the government spent $4.6 trillion on the bailout just in 2008. And just to put that into perspective for you, Paul, what a trillion dollars is, if you take a dollar bill, the thickness of the dollar bill, the Treasury Department says the thickness of a dollar bill is 0.0043 inches, so pretty thin. And if you take a trillion $1 bills and you stack them on top of each other, how far do you think those dollar bills are going
to
go?
I'd say they go pretty high, maybe to the moon or some craziness like that.
It's actually 65,000 miles.
Wow. Well, that's not quite to the moon.
That can go around the Earth four times.
That's amazing. It's hard to wrap our heads around these numbers when they talk about trillions. In fact, I was in class Thursday and somebody said, well, what comes after trillion? And I said, I don't know. I think it's gazillion. But no, it's actually quadrillion. So, you know, by the time our kids are older, we'll be talking about quadrillions.
Yes, that's where our national debt will be by the time I'm retiring.
Yeah.
And that's why taxes are going to be going up.
So that leads us to number three. These are, we're talking about myths that are propagated, whether it be intentionally or not, and most of the time not, really.
Not intentionally.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that most advisors are following the mantra of the industry as a whole rather than thinking outside of the box sometimes.
And the statistics and the facts that I'm giving you are actually showing that why traditional financial planners think this. These actually used to be true. These all used to be true, just they're no longer true today.
And what's changed, those is longevity, demographics, and taxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what's changed.
Let's go on to number three. You have another number. What was the third one?
The third one is that health care is going to be your biggest retirement expense. And there was a recent study that I read where they polled 1,000 pre-retirees, and they asked them, what do you expect to be your biggest retirement expense? And 80% of them stated that health care was going to cost them the most during retirement. I mean, would you agree that that's what most people are going to say?
Well, I totally agree. In fact, you know, that's a staple of any plan we do for people. And it's not so much short-term health care as it is the long-term need for
exactly.
care because of longevity and the
sure.
frailness that we have as we get older.
It's definitely an important part of the plan. However, there's also another component that a lot of people leave out. There was a 2008 Fidelity study that said a couple age 65 during their lifetimes would expect to pay about $215,000 in medical costs during their retirement. So, I mean, that's a significant amount of money. And that's why people think that health care is going to be their biggest expense.
Well, that's why everybody's up in arms over this potential, I don't want to call it socialized, but the current discussion on health care.
Yep. And that's just another reason why tax rates are going to go up in the future, by the way. But people think that healthcare expenses are going to be their biggest retirement cost. But in actuality, the reality is that taxes are going to be our biggest retirement cost. And just to give you an example, let's assume that this same couple, age 65, made $75,000 a year in retirement, and let's just assume that they had a 25% effective tax rate. Their total tax liability over that same lifetime would be $400,000 of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
that's almost double what their health care expenses would be.
Well, and you know, a lot of people don't take into consideration that a lot of the things they're paying for is with after-tax money, and they're being taxed again.
Yep.
I don't think it's, you know, for an average family that's, you know, middle income, you know, in the 50 range, 60, 70 range, somewhere in there, I mean, which is the bulk of America, whether it be single or dual incomes or more, what we're going to find is they're probably going to pay about 30 to 50% in tax in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
I mean, you get taxed on everything. I rented a car when I went to Texas last week. I think 15% of the total bill was different types of taxes.
Exactly. And what I'm talking about is just
income.
Federal and state, yeah, income tax.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about all of the other taxes that we're having to pay.
Right.
But let's say you said the average person makes about would make maybe $50,000.
Somewhere in there. I'm just guessing here.
We know the tax rates are going to go up. So let's say that a retiree, 65, made $50,000 per year. If tax rates went up and they had to pay a 30% effective tax rate, which I think is low in the direction that we're going, that same couple would have to pay $300,000 of taxes during their retirement.
Well, taxes, there's no doubt. You and I, we plan for this every day in our offices. Taxes are the number one concern beyond the well-being of healthcare. And really, we hit on those two areas big time because those are the two monsters. Those are the two gremlins, the thieves in the night. Now we get into inflation and longevity. Now we got a quagmire going on.
Yeah, but when you go and meet with a traditional financial planner, most of them don't take into account your biggest retirement expense, which is taxes.
No, they focus
sort
on
of the problem with what's going on.
Yeah, they focus on contribution and accumulation. They don't focus on distribution, which is the, you know, don't you want to begin with the end in mind? That's the whole point of putting the money away to start with, isn't it?
Exactly.
So that you have it at retirement?
Yep, and this is where the Roth conversion comes into play, and this is where it all ties together, is that what I would ask anybody who's listening to the show right now is, what if I had a way for you to prepay your biggest retirement cost today at a discount? Would you be interested in that?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the Roth conversion is that opportunity. We know that your biggest retirement expense is going to be taxes. Your biggest retirement expense is going to be taxes. So what if we can do a Roth conversion today on your IRA, pay the taxes on it while we're in the lowest tax bracket of our life, and so that's why it's a discount. It's also
lowest
a discount.
Lowest tax bracket in our life, Kevin, assuming that they're going to go up. And I think that's part of the assumption, and most of us agree on that. And by the way, let me just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not trying to sell you on Roth conversions. We're simply educating you as to what they are, how they work, and different schools of thought as it relates to them. You would need to get with your advisor to find out if it's appropriate for you. In some cases, most cases it is. In some cases, it's not. So just a little qualifier there. But back to the point at hand. You're saying that traditional planning focuses on continuing to defer those tax, when what we're saying and what we both, I think, agree on is that right now may, in fact, even though this is your prime income earning years right now, ladies and gentlemen, may, in fact, be the lowest tax bracket you'll ever be in when you start to look at more sources of income after you retire and the inevitability of taxes going up. And I just don't see how taxes can go down, Kevin, unless there's some incredible new innovation in our country that just takes the country by storm and creates a lot of revenue like the internet did back in the late 90s, you know?
Yeah, and even the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan organization that does predictions about revenue that the government's getting at the federal level, they said that the current federal budget is on an unsustainable path, because federal debt will continue to grow much faster than the economy over the long run, and unless revenues increase, which is taxes, just as rapidly, the rise in spending will produce growing deficits, depress economic growth, and cause substantial harm to the economy.
Now, is that from David Walker?
No, this is from the Congressional Budget Office that was posted on their website on July 16th of 2009.
Well, we know David Walker was a former comptroller for the Government Accounting Office, and he resigned.
Correct.
A while back, and it had he had made some very similar quotes to what you just read.
So we have two different parts of the federal government. One, the head accountant saying that the government will have to decrease spending by 60% or double tax rates, and now we have the Congressional Budget Office warning that our current path is unsustainable, and the only way to counteract that is to increase revenues just as rapidly, which means increase taxes.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a and Kevin knows me very well. I'm a very positive, abundant thinker, and I know some of this is doom and gloom. But you know, you want to plan for the worst and hope for the best. And sometimes, you know, I often practice the 11th commandment, and that is, "Thou shalt not fake thyself out." And if you do, shame on you. And so what we're trying to do is just inform you here. We don't want to get into the negative doom and gloom stuff. But it is a reality, Kevin, and it's something we deal with every day in our practices.
Something that needs to be planned for is my point.
Yeah, absolutely. That leads us up to, we got about five minutes in this next segment. In this segment. Let's go ahead and go to the fourth myth.
Sure. The fourth retirement myth is that your biggest risk during retirement is going to be the performance of your portfolio, whether or not you're going to have that income stream that you want during retirement. So most of the time, people are going to, you're going to go to a financial planner, they're going to take your money, they're going to put it in different strategies to try to get you the best kind of accumulation. And the myth is, the reality is that your biggest risk during retirement is not the performance of your underlying portfolio, it's that you possibly could outlive your money. It's your own longevity that is your biggest risk.
I agree with you, Kevin. I just I have an article in the Town and Gown this month where we talked about that and income. There was a study a while back. We talked about it in traditional planning. What was it, 40 or 60 some odd percent of the time in the traditional planning model, people run out of money versus other models that you have about 95% of the time where people wouldn't run out of money. Remember those stats?
Exactly.
Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what they did is there's been various studies where they looked back in time. They looked back 30 years, for example, and they looked at a traditional portfolio allocation model, and they said, let's just assume that you put 50 in bonds and 50 in the market. And we took a withdrawal rate from that account. So we'd say a 4% withdrawal rate, a 5, 6, 7, and index for inflation. And what these studies show is that even at a 4% withdrawal rate, and just to put that into perspective, if you had $1 million, that means you can only take out $40,000 per year, that at a 4% withdrawal rate, with 90% confidence, you would run out of money in 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
So most people say, well, 27 years is a long time. Well, if you're 65 years old, 27 years means that you're going to live to age 92.
Which is real close to the current life expectancy, and it's assuming you got $1 million to start with, too.
Exactly. And so people say, well, you know, 92 is a pretty old age, but actually, mortality tables show that a couple age 65 have one of them have a 50% chance of living to age 92.
Well, my grandfather's 92. I just saw him last week in Texas, and he's doing great.
Exactly. So our own longevity is our biggest risk during retirement, not the performance of the underlying portfolio. So how would you feel knowing that you have a 50% chance living to 92, and that even at a 4% withdrawal rate, statistically, you're going to run out of money by that age?
Yeah, you don't want to be 92, feel like you're 72, and only have 3 years of money left.
Exactly.
You know, and longevity is becoming a huge issue that very, very few people are talking about, Kevin. I mean, they're talking about how great longevity is, and I mean, obviously, long-term care has become not a luxury anymore. It's really a staple of a financial plan because of the fact that our bodies are living longer and they're becoming more frail and we need care. So I'll tell you, you know, we need to start to look at longevity in this country. I remember, you know, Willard Scott, I don't know Willard Scott, he's what is he on, AJ? You know, like Today Show or something?
He's on the ABC.
Yeah, and he comes on and does the Centurions with Smuckers, you know, like he'll say, you know, he's been doing it for 25 years. Well, he gets between 300 and 500 requests a week for Centurions to be announced on his show, and they do about 35 or 40 a week on there.
Yep.
So, you know, it's the fastest growing age population in our country is between 90 and 94. That's the fastest growing percentage-wise segment. Longevity obviously is an issue. So just to recap, and we're going to go to break here, we're talking about four myths, or Roth IRA myths, if you will, four retirement myths that are propagated by the traditional industry concerning Roths. One would be defer taxes when you can, when we believe we're at historical low rates, and the fact that tax rates are going up would prove that. Number two, the myth is that you'll be in a lower tax bracket during retirement than you are today, and we're not seeing that. I'm not seeing that at all in my practice. Have you seen that? Because you deal with a lot of practices.
No, we never see that.
Number three, health costs will be your biggest retirement cost during retirement. That's a myth. It's actually going to be taxes. according to studies. And number four, your biggest risk during retirement is the performance of your investments, which is really what you're basically speaking to there, is you need to make sure that you either have safety and no losses or a decent rate of return to keep up with the fact that we're living longer.
Exactly, and it's your own longevity that's the biggest risk.
So when we come back from the break, what are we going to focus on? We've really kind of hit on these four myths. I think people understand what a Roth is, what a traditional IRA is, and what we're simply proposing in today's conversation is you may want to consider looking at taking your traditional IRA and converting it to a Roth so that the taxes are handled now, and then it grows tax-free and defers tax-free. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, and we can go, we can review these four myths and show how doing a Roth conversion today would actually counter it, would actually solve these four problems.
And we want to talk about some of the tax laws, right? The new
sure.
ones. All right, well, we're listening to, you're listening to It's Your Money with the investor coach, Paul Nichols. I'm joined by Kevin Neuber out of San Diego with LifePro. He specializes in dealing with advisors, attorneys, and different financial planners around the country. And we will be right back after our break. Stay with us. Welcome back to It's Your Money. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach. I hope this finds you well on this Saturday morning. By the way, It's Your Money is part of Coach's Corner, which makes up a Saturday morning lineup here at the station. Following me will be Ken Pash with Unlocking Your Full Potential. And then following Ken will be Brian Allen and Ryan Lowe, the real estate and mortgage coaches. And our intent every Saturday morning is for all of our respective shows to pull back the curtain on our industries and expose the truth about those industries and hopefully enrich your life in some small way with some information and some knowledge. I have Kevin from LifePro out in San Diego. Once again, Kevin, I got to thank you for getting up so early. I know that you are a man about town, and you're probably you're up late. Now, you're normally you're a big fisherman, so you're up early most of the time anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, this is no big deal waking up this early on a weekend for me.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming on. We are finishing up a conversation about Roth conversion. So let's, with about the 10 minutes or so we got left here, let's take it in any direction you would like, Kevin.
Sure. Well, what I want to do is just kind of tie everything together and talk. We covered these four retirement myths about how when you go and you meet with a financial planner, they're always going to tell you first to defer taxes whenever that you can. Also, that your tax rates are going to be lower in retirement. That your health care will be your biggest retirement cost, and that the performance of your underlying portfolio is your biggest risk. And now we know that all of this is not true, just as we covered in the last two segments. And really, the solution to all of these problems are a Roth IRA, or potentially, if you're eligible, to do a Roth conversion. Because essentially what we can do is we can convert our IRA, pay the taxes now, and basically prepay our biggest retirement expense, which is going to be taxes, and have a tax-free retirement when we're talking about the distributions that we're taking from our qualified account.
You know, one of the challenges I think people are going to have and that are trying to wrap their head around this, Kevin, is they're saying, now, wait a minute, if I take my retirement account and convert it to a Roth and I got to pay taxes, and let's say now my account is 20-25% less moving forward, it feels like a loss.
Well, that's one way, that's how some people will look at it. But what we need to do is we need to look at how we'd actually pay the taxes on this conversion. And there's actually three different ways that we can do it. First is that we can pay the taxes from the account. So in that example, you would just actually take a distribution from the account and use that to pay the taxes. That's actually the least favorable way to do it. Now, it still works, and it works if tax rates in the future do go up, then using a distribution from your account still makes sense. Now, the second way to do it is to use money from some other sort of side account. And usually what I recommend doing is taking money that you might have in CDs or a broker, maybe losses that you've had on some stocks or mutual funds that you've had on a non-qualified account, and use that to pay the taxes. that's actually a really great way to do it, because then you actually do not reduce the amount of your qualified account.
But you still have to come up with the money. I'm just, you know, just kind of, you still have to pay the taxes. Now, you're going to have to pay them later, so we agree that, I mean, I did a Roth conversion a week after 9/11 because I thought the market had bottomed out then. That's when I converted mine over, but that's been many years ago. And now everything's tax-free, and it's growing a lot more than it was then, and it's tax-free. But it was tough that year to bite that bullet, you know?
Yeah, and that's a great point, is that right now the market's down considerably than where it was a year ago. And that's why actually doing a Roth conversion today, you'd actually be doing it at a discount. Because think if you actually did it one year ago, when the market was so much higher, and then today it's that much lower.
Well, the market's still down about 30% off its high from, you know, in the 14,000s of the Dow last year. So, there is room for growth. I mean, there's arguments you can make for value, but then we don't know what's going to happen in the market. We don't know whether it's going to go up or down. We do know where the returns come from, and we can focus on that academically. But I agree, that does add a little bit of fuel to the argument that, hey, maybe you should seriously consider this with the market being not at its peak right now, down, do the Roth conversion, pay the taxes, take the hit. But now moving forward, you never have to worry about taxes on your biggest account.
Yep, and if the market goes back up, then you did the conversion at a discount, but then some of your listeners might be thinking, well, what if the market goes back down? Well, there's actually a really cool rule about Roth conversions, something that is called recharacterization. So let's assume that we did a Roth conversion exactly 1 year ago, when the market was up 30%, and today it is 30% lower. Well, what we can actually do is do what's called a recharacterization. We can actually go back and undo that conversion, and basically wipe it out and pretend that it never happened, so that tax bill that we did pay essentially gets eliminated. And we are then able to reconvert it back to an IRA or a Roth IRA and essentially pay taxes on your lower account balance. So if somebody does a Roth conversion today and the market goes up, then great, we did pay the taxes at a discount. However, if they do it today and the market goes down, we have the opportunity of doing the recharacterization and undoing it and then doing it over again and paying taxes on the lower amount.
Well, and how long do we have for that recharacterization?
You have to do it by October 15th of the following tax year. So,
okay.
Calendar year. So anybody today that did a Roth conversion a year ago, you actually have 12 more days to do the recharacterization back.
Okay. Okay, so that buys you a little bit of wiggle room as it relates to the peace of mind of, hey, I'm making this conversion. Now, the fact of the matter is, if the market would have went down in their traditional IRA, it would be worth less and it would still have all the taxes due.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, again, you got to think these out. There's no one-size-fits-all type of situation when you're dealing with the financial arena. We have, I mean, you and I will sit down and you know, we'll have 20 different people. It'll be 20 totally different plans. You know, it all depends on what people need. Now, there's certain similarities underlying in some of the plans, that being longevity, taxes, health care. These are major issues that we address. But that's interesting, the recharacterization. Well, that offers a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Comfort, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so it does give them a little bit of comfort. And then there's actually a third way that we can pay the taxes on the conversion, and this one's a little bit more creative. Let's say that we had $100,000 in our IRA and we did a conversion today. We're in a 20% effective tax rate. Our tax bill would be $20,000. So the third way that we can actually do it is doing a HELOC on your home. And the example.
Explain what a HELOC is for people that don't know.
A HELOC is essentially a line of credit on your equity on your home.
Okay.
And you can an adjustable rate, so the interest rate can go up or down. But right now, we're in really, really low
Well, you can get fixed rates on HELOCs, Kevin. You can get fixed rates on HELOCs, too.
You can. I mean, you could do a refi and pull the cash out. But right now, HELOC rates are, I mean, below prime. They're really low.
Mm-hmm.
So in this same example where somebody had to take $20,000 out of their pocket today to pay the taxes, let's say that we did a HELOC. And, I mean, the rates are below 4%, but I'm just going to use 4%.
Okay.
Let's say that they did a $20,000 HELOC, mm-hmm. and they use that to pay the taxes on their conversion,
mm-hmm.
and they were paying a 4% interest rate on that.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, you take $20,000, multiply that by 4%, that's $800, and divided by 12, I mean, you're paying basically $70 a month for your conversion.
Let me paint a very clear picture for you, ladies and gentlemen, as to what, just reiterate what Kevin said. What he's saying is take the full 100% value of your IRA, convert it to a Roth, then go and pull some of the equity out of your home through a home equity line of credit and pay the tax bill. That way you have 100% of your money working for you, and now you do have to make the payments on the HELOC, but what's happening is you're getting the deduction, which is also helping your taxable event, and you have 100% of your money going to work for you, and if the market does go down, we can recharacterize and pay off the HELOC.
Yeah, so with this creative approach, what would you rather do, pay $20,000 out of your actual IRA or from some liquid side fund, or would you rather just pay $70 a month to the mortgage company for the HELOC? So
and
get a deduction on that payment. So we're actually saving even more taxes doing that method.
Well, and I get, here's what you got to look at, ladies and gentlemen. If your account is not 25% less because of taxes, in other words, it's 100% of what the value was, you're going to pick up a lot more than that HELOC would cost you, especially when you look at the after-tax deduction. So let's say you're paying 4%, your tax bracket's 25, you're really paying 3, less than 3, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
As long as you're earning more than 3% on the amount of money that would have gone to taxes, you're winning.
Yeah, you're winning. And not only that, but now you've taken your $100,000 taxable IRA, and now you have $100,000 non-taxable Roth IRA for the rest of your life, not only for your life, but your beneficiary's life.
Well, do you have more positives with the 5 or 6 minutes we have left? Because I want to get into some of the negatives, if there's any of those.
Sure. The last myth that we talked about, Paul, is that that longevity is your biggest retirement risk, is outliving your money. And it's hard for us to cover just in a couple minutes about how to solve this, because we have actually done a whole radio show on this.
Mm-hmm.
But we can actually do creative planning where we take your money and we basically create a guaranteed income stream for the rest of your life. And we typically, in our experience, Paul, in the plans that we've done, we've given people withdrawal rates equal to 5 to 7%
mm-hmm.
per year that they're guaranteed never to outlive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the example that we talked about last segment, is that even at a 4% withdrawal rate with the traditional financial planning approach, you're going to run out of money in 27 years by the age of 92, and you have a 50% chance of living to age 92.
Now, you're going to actually have more longevity for your account balance by not having to pay, needing to pay the taxes on that. And by the way, that show that we did, the Income for Life show, is on iTunes, Kevin. So if you can promote that, anybody can just go to iTunes, type in It's Your Money or Financial Abundance, and that show will come up. So ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that do podcasts, you can download it on your computer or to your iPod and listen to that show. It's the Income for Life show. So go ahead, Kevin. Let's move forward then.
So not only are we taking care of the tax liability on our IRA, but we're also making sure that somebody's never going to outlive their money, and we're actually going to give them a higher income stream than what they're originally planning on taking.
So now the
win-win situation.
Okay, the positives then is we're basically dealing with taxes, which is one of the biggest concerns.
Yep.
We're also adding the component of an income for life model, which is very popular, and you and I have done hundreds of them.
Yep.
So those are the positives with the Roth conversion, and then what we can do with it as it relates to retirement income. With the 3 or 4 minutes we have left, because this show is all about pulling back the curtain and exposing the truth about money and investing, what would be some of the negatives or some of the things that people might be concerned about? And I already mentioned one, and that is people getting past the perception of having less account balance after they do this conversion, but understanding that the taxes are going to be substantially more than the lower account balance would be in the long run. What other negatives might need to be addressed or information needs to be laid out there so people can have a well-rounded view of this whole issue?
Sure. One downside in reality is that not everybody is actually going to retire at the same level of income as they currently have. There's definitely a large segment of the population that is going to retire on significantly less money than what they were taking prior to retirement. And so in that example, even if tax rates go up 10-20%, if you're taking a 50% reduction in your income, then certainly your tax rates might not be higher during retirement. And in that situation, it might not be beneficial to a person to do a Roth conversion if their tax rates aren't going to be lower during retirement. I mean, no matter how you run the numbers and all the calculations that we do, if your tax rates are going to be lower during retirement, then by more than 10%, then a Roth conversion is not going to be a benefit to you.
Yeah, and that's something we need to do an analysis on. I'll tell you that I don't see it very often.
No, and I didn't want to get into the numbers too much today, but we do definitely do all the analysis on our end to show the actual increased net income at retirement and do the calculations to see if it's going to benefit a person. And anybody that goes to somebody to consider a Roth conversion, they definitely need to see those numbers before they determine whether or not they're going to do one.
Wonderful. Well, we got about 2 minutes left, Kevin. Is there any comments you want to add real quick? And then I just want to recap.
This is a new tax law that's coming out. It's actually an old tax law, but what happens is it's coming into effect in 2010. And remember that in 2010, the income limitation is being removed on who is eligible to do the Roth conversion. Currently, a married couple cannot do a Roth conversion if they make more than $100,000. Now, anybody who has a significant IRA probably is making more than $100,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So most people can't do a Roth conversion. In 2010, that limit is being removed, so anybody is eligible to do the Roth conversion.
Wonderful. Well, listen, Kevin, I really appreciate you coming on, especially getting up super early, 3 hours earlier there in California, and we've talked about these Roth conversion. Now, next week, this show will be on iTunes. For those of you who would like to listen to it again, you can certainly download it on iTunes, or you can go right to the website, financialabundanceinc.com. That's financialabundanceinc.com, and all the shows are on there. As well. And I know you just went through a 2-day training course on even more information about Roth. So this stuff is all very timely, and it's an area that is getting a lot of notice, right, Kevin?
Yeah, it definitely is getting a lot of notice. And you're right, we just did a training for 2 days with about 60 financial planners like yourself.
Well, hey, listen, Kevin, thanks so much. I'll be talking to you next week. I appreciate you coming on the show. And ladies and gentlemen, it's another football weekend. It's not a home game here, but who do we got this? We got Illinois this week, don't we?
Illinois, Eastern Illinois next week.
Yeah, so we've got a game away. We've had four home games, so we got a away game this week for our Nittany Lions. And we are live and in color. Next week will be recorded. For those of you, again, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and call our office, 814-867-5745. Go to the website, financialabundanceinc.com. Check us out on iTunes. And we're now the Investor Coach on Channel 6, WJAC, here in the local marketplace. So we're all over the place. There's plenty of opportunities to make things happen. You're listening to Paul Nichols. Have a wonderful and productive day and a great week. Next week, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.